Welcome to Central Study Hour. It's always a privilege to have you join us here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. And as we usually do, we'll begin with a couple of songs before we go into our study of our quarterly lesson. And our first hymn today is hymn number 22. The title is God is Our Song. And we pray that that is the case in your life. Having godly songs in our lives are so helpful to keep us focused on how great God is. It helps us to have triumph over tribulations, and it's just a blessing to be able to have a song in our hearts. So we will be singing all stanzas of hymn number 22, a request from Andrew Schwartz of Texas.
Song and every singer blessed who praising Him finds energy and rest. All who praise God with unaffected joy give back to us the wisdom we destroy. Give back to us the wisdom we destroy. God is our song, for Jesus comes to save. While praising Him, we offer all we have. New songs we sing in ventures new unite. When Jesus leads us upward into light, when Jesus leads us upward song no conflict ever drowns. Who praises God, our human wrath disowns. Love knows what rich complexities of sound. God builds upon a simple common ground. God builds upon a simple common ground. God is our silence when no songs are sung. When ecstasy stills the tongue, glorious the faith which silently obeys, until we find again the voice of praise, until we find again the
beautiful hymn, a new hymn for us. So thank you for your request, Andrew. It's always nice to hear beautiful new hymns. And if you would like to share a request with us, please visit us at saccentral.org, and in the contact us menu you will find CSH hymn request, and there we ask that you share your name, where you're writing us from, and the hymn that you would like us to sing on an upcoming Sabbath. We always love to hear from you, so Hopefully you have a chance this week to visit our webpage and share that favorite hymn that you would like us to sing. Our next hymn is hymn number 214. The title of the song is We Have This Hope. And I think it's a favorite for the Adventist Church. So hymn number 214, this is a request from Robert Minet of Australia. Thank you for that request as well.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of his word. Far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We Christ our Lord, we are united in his love. Love for the waiting people of the world, people who need our Savior's love. Soon the heavens will open. Sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that earth and God's great love, we are united in Christ.
Beautiful, beautiful hope. We'll invite you to now join us in a prayer before we go into our study. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you because we can continue to study the Bible today, Lord. And thank you because you've allowed us to come here and get together and study together. Thank you for being with us throughout the week, Lord. And now that we will open your holy word, we ask your guidance, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, that the angels are present wherever we open our Bibles, Lord, and that you give us clarity and that we can learn and apply that in our lives, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for all your love. Amen. Today, we continue our study of the Great Controversy. And we will be studying lesson number 10, Spiritualism Exposed. Now we will give the time to Dr. Jim Tayeg, who has the study for us. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Good morning and happy Sabbath. Are you happy you are in the house of the Lord? He's the one here and he owns this, right? And we are only the one invited in his presence. Oftentimes I hear when we pray, I said, Lord, we invite your presence here. We were the one invited, right? We are privileged that we have the Lord with us today. I know they prayed already, but We need the Holy Spirit as we study a very serious topic today. Why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, once again, we trust that your Holy Spirit will be in our midst. And as we open your words, O Lord, I pray that you will guide our minds, that everything will be clear and everybody can understand what these things is all about, particularly as it pertains to the great controversy. Bless each one, O Lord, and bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before I begin our lesson, we have a very serious topic today. It's supposed to be an easy topic. That is, if you really know your scripture, and I expect that to be for all Seventh-day Adventists should know it, right? It's a spiritualism exposed. But before we go into that, we welcome everyone, especially those who are watching us online, especially those who would like to have a copy of this presentation. Please write or email us at csh@saccentral.org or call us at 916-457-6511. Ask for offer C202423. It can indicate whether you want a CD or a DVD or both. Make sure that you give us your name and address so we can forward this to you. Okay, so again, that is csh@saccentral.org or call us 916-457-6511. Offer number C202423. Okay, so that's set aside now. So let's go into our topic. Let me see the first slides. Thank you. So we are in lesson number 10, Spiritualism Exposed. As I mentioned a while ago, every Seventh-day Adventist should actually know how to, in fact, present this. And especially, I'm always bothered or concerned, really, whenever I see somebody or I hear somebody or even some people post on Facebook and say, "Happy birthday there in heaven, my dad, my beloved dad." And I hear this and I see these among Seventh-day Adventists. And I say, are they a Seventh-day Adventist? What it saddens me, actually, I hear it many times also even among my own relatives who are Adventists. So therefore, today, I wish that this presentation should clarify everything so that you don't have to greet your late husband or late dad or your late mom and say happy birthday in heaven. Okay? What does the scripture say, really, about this thing? This is all spiritualism. I looked into Wikipedia and how they define the word spiritualism, and it says it's a metaphysical concept where people, where there's a belief that the whole universe is composed of matter and spirit, material and spirit, and the interaction between the two. And it all has this long explanation that's kind of weird. Then I looked into Britannica, which is an old encyclopedia, and it simply says spiritualism is a religious belief that believes that you can communicate with the dead. It's so plain like that. And so it's just interesting. And probably in the later part, so Wikipedia came up with that kind of idea. So in any case, here we are. So let's make sure that we understand what we're talking about here. Next slide, please. I don't have the clicker. I have only very few slides this time. I won't be projecting all the verses. So I want you to please open your Bibles today, okay? And we will read them together. Basically, spiritualism's core is a lie about death, right? The lie is that the soul is immortal, okay? And the premise is that death is not a cessation of life. It means to say that they say they teach that, I mean, spiritually seem teaches that when you die, your life is didn't really cease. But it's a door to the next phase of life, so they say. So there's an afterlife, okay? Immediate afterlife. As a matter of fact, it's a continuation of what you have right now, they said. Where did it originate? Well, it originated from the first lie ever that was given by who? The serpent. By the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says, you shall not what? Surely die. Genesis 3, verse 4. That's a lie. Well, it says, because God said that if you in the day that you eat of this, you will die, right? But somehow, the devil added that word, surely, yeah, you will die, but not surely. Well, because death is not really a cessation of life, they said. And the purpose of that is to distrust God in his word, with his word, right? Of course, that is to believe him instead and his deception. And the power, and it's so powerful, this teaching is so powerful that it manipulates people through fear. It teaches that death is a fearful thing, right? And so it gives you a false assurance and teaches you a false assurance that death really, although it's not saying that death is fearful, because after all, they say you should not fear because you will not really die. It's a false assurance, right? And yet, in other words, it operates through your emotions, because Satan knows that you and I are naturally, without knowing the scripture, you and I fear death. Correct? Do you think I can prove that? Yes. If I have a gun here and put it on before you like that, what's the first emotion that comes to you? You will be fearful, right? You could die right there. It's natural that we fear death. And so the devil actually is trying to assure us, you know, no, you're really not dying. You will not die. So it manipulates on your emotion rather than it is based on principle of love. See, those are two diametric opposing concepts. Satan works on emotions of people, while God works on what? On the principle of love. In fact, it doesn't even force you. It won't even scare you. Satan doesn't scare also, but somehow, you know, it manipulates that emotion, the natural feeling that you have. Anyway, I don't want to go in through that one. So we are lesson actually has so many verses that we will go through all of them. Okay? But I found it interesting when a lesson author chose the memory text in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Every Seventh-day Adventist should actually memorize this, really, really. And it's, you know, we hear it often during memorial services, right? And it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what it says, right? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to what? Meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. This is a key text about the second coming of Christ. And I say, why should the second coming of Christ be the key text for a topic about spiritualism, especially the state of the dead, the false teaching of immortality of the soul, that you really don't die? Why? Because in the last days, before the coming of Jesus Christ, spiritualism will be manifested fully. In fact, there will be a counterfeit. The counterfeit what? Appearing of Christ, actually the Antichrist. Right? Satan, actually. He will try to imitate and deceive a lot of people, and this is spiritualism. That is why this topic is so critical as we study the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Satan's tool is emotions. Christ's tool is the principle of love. That's so good. But it's so easy to be deceived. Well, Pastor Rob presented last time, next slide please, share with you this one in his sermon. Those of you who have been here, you should probably remember, where the Vatican was preparing a guidelines for apparition or other supernatural phenomena. And I said, wow, the Vatican is giving us that. By the way, what's so interesting is while I was preparing on this one just before I left here, just a few minutes while I left here, while I was browsing through this, something popped up on my iPad, and then, and you know what? Next slide, please. Okay, I want to see the next slide. There you go. The one that was presented by Pastor Rob, right? The second one just popped up on my screen this morning, just before I left here. It says, Vatican releases guidelines, guidance on investigating supernatural phenomena. Today, it released, that one. Why? Because right now, with a lot of people getting so interested with some of the things that's happening and what they see in the sky, particularly with, oh, by the way, did you hear about those northern lights and the auroras that everybody is talking about almost all throughout the whole world? And everybody was wondering, why all these shows in the sky? And a lot of people are conjecturing and making all conspiracy theory and all that about those things. We don't know exactly what happened, but it's kind of interesting that a lot of those supposedly northern lights were supposed to be seen on the northern part of the earth. But even though some people from my own home country in the Philippines, they say they were seeing some strange things. So that's probably why the Vatican has been concerned about this, so he was releasing guidelines. Could this be supernatural things, or could it be just natural things? A lot of people explain that it's a solar flare and all that. We don't know. Well, there's a lot of people who are also saying, conjecturing that those people who are manipulating the weather and all that, whatever thought that is. Anyway, the next one, you will see how this particular news tells us what these apparitions are. Apparitions are appearances or communication with what? Divine beings such as saints, angels, or what? Who? Christ himself. That is why it is important to understand apparitions are only one of those manifestations of true spiritualism. Okay? So we go next to our Sunday's lesson. So we will be looking at the various, you're a little ahead. We're looking at the dangers of spiritualism, okay? Sunday's lesson, and then we'll look at what the Old Testament teaches about death, and then we'll look at the New Testament also, on how what it teaches about death. And then we also will look at how spiritualism will be manifested in the last days, okay? So basically, that's the whole lesson.
on Sunday, we see we're told, I mean, the main thing on Sunday, well, I don't have the screen there anyway. It starts with saying this, the fable that death is really just an entrance to a new stage of life is based on the concept of souls, of the soul's natural immortality. I think only very few religious groups or churches believe that, or do not believe on the immortality of the soul. One of Seventh-day Adventists, I think Jehovah's Witness also don't believe that. I'm not so sure, but I think so. But the rest of Christianity actually believes, both Catholics and other Protestants, that the soul is immortal. In other words, when you die, what happens? Your soul goes back to God. Well, you know that that's not true, right? Because first of all, there was no soul before God created Adam and Eve, right? When he created, he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul. It is only then. But if you separate those two, where's the soul? Well, as I said, it goes back to God. They confuse the soul and the spirit. There's a text in the Bible. We won't look into that one. The Ecclesiastes says it goes back to God. The spirit goes back to God. But it doesn't say that that spirit has consciousness. Right? Anyway, what's the danger? One of the dangers is that it robs God of immortality. Because he is the only source of life. There's no inherent nature in you that is life eternal unless it is granted to you by God. You are not immortal. Your immortality is conditioned to being in Jesus. Right? Knowing Jesus. And how do I know that? I didn't have the text there, but we find in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, it says only God has immortality. So if our soul have all immortality, that text must be a lie. But by God's word cannot be a lie. Satan is always lying, of course. We know that. So that's why our Sunday's lesson points to us Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And there's an interesting thing here, by the way, it's on the screen. And do not fear those who can, what? Kill the body, but cannot, what? Kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Is the soul indestructible? Is the soul, you cannot kill the body? Or kill the soul? God can. After all, he is the one who, what? Yeah, is the source of our lives. Oh, I find it interesting that this verse uses two different words, Greek words, original. Let's go back to the previous slide. Okay. Kill and destroy. I won't read those Greek words for you. Kill is just to put life to an end, right? While destroy is like basically gone. I mean, you are destroyed, ruined, that's it. So the soul can be destroyed. Anyway, what should this verse alone tell us about the supposed immortality of the soul? You know, God is so serious about this particular topic because he knows that from the beginning, Satan deceived Adam and Eve and relied upon his promise that you will not die. Because they relied on it. And so, God, really, that's a big thing for God. So he warns us all throughout Scripture. That's why we have so many texts to go through. today. I wish that we will have all the time to read all of them, but I will. I'll try to. That's why he forbade his people from involving themselves in occultism of any kind or any spiritualism of any kind. In fact, the Old Testament is very kind of sounds very harsh and cruel, telling us in Deuteronomy 18, verse 11, and Leviticus 20 and 22, that those who call upon the those who talk to the dead, they shouldn't be stoned to death. Wow, imagine that. If we do that right now, there's a lot of people who will be stoned, and we almost will depopulate the world, right? And that's why God is so serious about this. This is the danger, one of the dangers of spiritualism. You know, the tendency is for us to really rely not on God himself, rely on him providing us life, but that we might rely on even our ancestors who went ahead of us, and they say, oh, we can talk to them. We can communicate with them. And that will give us assurance, you know, you'll be okay or what. Have you heard so many people saying that? Oh, my late mom talked to me last night, and he has this message. And they get that false assurance tap me on all this. And many of those things are actually hallucinations, right? And it's practically idolatry, right? Instead of calling directly to God and relying on God and his promises and his word, we rely on our beloved human beings. So after the Bible, all throughout the Bible, we are told that you don't trust any man, right? Well, not even your mom or dad. But that doesn't mean that means I won't trust my mom. It only means you cannot trust them of your future plans, because they don't know. How much more when they're dead? Correct? And see, these are some of the dangers of spiritualism. Rob gods of immortality, it leads you to idolatry and worship your ancestors instead of worshiping God. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. I don't have it there, but I'll read it to you, and please open your Bibles. Ecclesiastes number chapter 9, verse 5. If you are there, I'll continue while you're opening, okay? For the living know that they will die, but the dead knows everything, because they reached the ultimate already, so they know everything now. Is that what the scriptures say? How much do they know? The dead knows nothing. Well, if they are conscious and they are in heaven, why can't they know something? Right? I mean, isn't that so clear? The Bible is so clear. And where do these other teachings, I mean, almost all Christian religions believe that you are, when you die, you are in heaven. You can, and they will even know as you are calling them and greeting them happy birthday. Right? And as they have no rewards, no more reward, but for the memory of them is forgotten. Job chapter 7:7-9 tells us, oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. When you die and you shall no longer be, what does that mean? You basically have no existence. But people say, well, you die, not really, you just go to heaven. Or maybe go to hell if you haven't really been good enough. You know. As the clouds, in verse 9 tells us, as the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. The one who vanishes, the one who goes down to the grave, do they come up? So what happens when somebody knocks on your door and says, "I'm your mom"? You call them what? They say, "Oh, ghost, I saw the ghost of my mom. And he talked to me." Yeah, I swear, because it's exactly the voice of my mom. This is spiritualism, my friends, a very dangerous thing. And the mom can advise you. And you know what happened to King Saul, right? When he tried to resurrect Samuel, asking for advice. You know, be careful of what you ask, because the devil might give you the advice that you don't want to hear. Or you might hear something that seems to be pleasure, but the end of it, what? Death. Don't even try talking to the dead, with the dead, okay? They don't come up. No, that verse reminds me of this old, my late dad's old Pampango proverbs, okay? It's a Pampang in Kapampangan, and I translated it in English, so I'll just read the English one. It says, "Man's life is like a shooting star. It flashes light. Its flashy lights ostentates up afar. If you turn just a bit, you will miss viewing it. Thus, O human creature, circumspectly ponder." And that's his favorite state, old proverbs. My dad passed away. No, he doesn't communicate with me. I remember what he said, and I remember these particularly. And that's why, because it was so precious to me, it got me thinking about it. And so I made sure that I translated in English so I can share it with people. See, life is like that. In this world, we may live like everything is fine, and we ostentate for everything that we have acquired, we have achieved, and all that. It's just like a shooting star. And it flashes like so beautifully ostentating up afar. Just a little step, you will miss it, and it's gone. That's how human life is. We live like a short, our lives is really, really short here on earth, right? That's why ponder carefully what you do. At my age right now, I've been telling my wife, I thought when we just got married, you know, we have a long time together and happiness together, you know. And now that I'm here, I said, ooh. Life is really short. We are on our sundown. You know, would to God that I wish I would live like Methuselah for 900-something years. But today, you reach 100 years. Wow, you are really okay. But 10, 20, or maybe 30 more years? That's really nothing. It's short. You ponder upon it. And it ends. However, of course, our Christian lives is not that gloomy, because there's always, well, we will see as we continue to study. Anyway, we continue on another verse. It leads us to the next on Tuesday's lesson, Psalm 115, verse 17. Let's read that one. Now, this one is interesting. If you are there, tell me if you are there. The dead praise the Lord. Is that what the Bible said? No, I misread that, right? The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down in silence. Now, think about it. If you get to heaven, what's the first thing that you would do? Huh? I would probably say, oh, streets of gold, oh, sea of glass. Do you think that's the first thing you would do? Mm-mm. First thing I would do is say, praise the Lord, I'm here, right? But the Bible says when you die, the dead don't praise the Lord. So, why? Because they are not there yet. They're not there yet. So clear. I mean, the Bible is so clear about this, and I don't know why people are missing it. Okay, we have 1 Kings 2, verse 10. Are you there? Bible tells us, 1 Kings 2, verse 10, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Let's look another verse, 1 Kings 11, verse 43. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Right? Another one, 1 Kings 14, verse 20. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. What are they talking about? What do those verses tell you about these kings? Huh? Sleeping. Death in the Old Testament is likened unto sleep. Huh? You're all sleeping. And throughout the scriptures, we will find out as we go into the New Testament, it says the same thing. Death is like a sleep. And when you are sleeping, will you be gallivanting around? Unless you are daydreaming. You cannot be telling me that once you die and you get to heaven, you are going around, that you are asleep and you are still going around. Right? It's so clear. See, the Bible teaches that death is like a sleep. And when you are asleep, you don't know what's happening around, especially if you have good night's sleep. Right? No consciousness at all. Okay. So, this sleep of death is really something that the Bible is so clear that when that it's actually assuring if you come to think about it. Because if I get to heaven, if I die and I get to heaven right away, boy, tell you the truth, no matter how much I love you, even though you are so close to me, oh, I have no time to go down here and tell you, hey, you know, it's so nice here. Why? Because I will be busy with God. I will sever all my time with God. But that's not happening. But after all, why would I bother things under the sun if I'm already there? I mean, oh, I've just left all the worries and troubles here on earth. Right? See, and the book of Psalms actually tells us, you know, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. In other words, since the Bible likens death into sleep, just like sleeping, you will wake up. Isn't that a good assurance? Of course, nobody sleeps 1 second. Takes time, right? Unless you have insomnia. And that's not even sleep. So it takes time, and then you will be awake. And when you are awake, what's so good is you will be awake in his likeness. Right now, when I look at myself, even looking at the mirror, no way this looks like God. No way this looks like Jesus Christ. Even though I trust that the Lord makes me try to form me until I become smooth and then become like Christ, I cannot say I'm already like Christ. But when we awake from sleep, what will happen? We will awake in his likeness. Isn't that beautiful? That's the assurance for those who are really looking for the blessed hope. Anyway, let me share with you, it's in your lesson, in the Great Controversy verse, page 560. Many will be confronted by spirits of devils, personating beloved relatives and friends, and declaring the most dangerous heresies. These visitants will appeal to our tenderest sympathies, see, and will work miracles to sustain their pretensions. See, I mean, what did I say? The modus operandi of Satan? He will operate on your emotions. You know, he'll try to get you in sympathy and all that. We must be prepared to withstand them with the Bible truth that the dead know not anything, and that they who thus appear are the spirit of who? Not your spirit, not my dad's spirit, not whoever your gone away loved one's spirit, but the spirit of the devil. Folks, the devil is so wise and clever and cunning. He can imitate your voice. He can imitate, just like, oh yeah, I swear, he sounds like my dad, walks like my dad and everything. No, that's the devil. Be careful, and that's one danger. Okay? Daniel 12:2. Let's read. And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall what? Awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. See? That's the hope we have. It's not that as soon as you die, you go right there to heaven. No, you will sleep until you're awake, until God wakes you up. Okay? Job 19:25 to 26. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day. When? At the latter day upon the earth. Not today, but at latter day. Of course, this is part of the last days, but towards the end, when he stands. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my soul or in my spirit, I shall see God. Is that what it said? In my flesh. Folks, you don't see God in your spirit or in your flesh, in your soul that goes there, up there. No. In your flesh. It will require your flesh resurrection, being awake to see God again. So those of you who probably might be guilty, I'm sorry to say, some of you might be guilty of greeting your dad or your mom or your beloved, your cousin in heaven, think again. They're still asleep. Okay? Now, death in the New Testament. What does the New Testament teach about death? John chapter 11. 11 to 14. Let's read that. These things he said, that after he said to them, oh, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may, what? Wake him up. Look, Jesus Christ himself gave an example. When Lazarus was dead, he said, oh, he's only asleep. But you know all that story, so we don't have to go through all of that. And yet he says, Lord, if he's only asleep, he should be well. But and then he clarified it, he actually is dead. Right? And I came to wake him up. So, what can wake up the dead? What can wake up that dead sleep? Only Jesus Christ. The voice of Jesus Christ will wake you up. So you see, even the New Testament coincides with the Old Testament teaching that death is like a sleep, no consciousness, okay? Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead, right? Okay. John 11:21-25. We'll go through very fast on these verses. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Verse 23 and 24, Jesus said to him, to her, your brother will rise again. And look at what Martha said. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the, when? Resurrection at the last day. Martha knew the truth. There's no way he will resurrect, but Jesus Christ said, I am the what? Resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall what? Live. No, if he believes in me, he will live. So our lives depend on Jesus Christ because he is the resurrection and the life. It is not in you. It is not in your soul that goes around or wherever it wants to travel around. No. Our lives depend on Jesus Christ. When he calls you up, he will wake you up. Okay? Where's I have done? Second Timothy 1:10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and brought life and immortality, the light through the gospel. How do we get immortality? Only through the gospel. That when Christ abolishes death, because death is the worst enemy of Jesus Christ, right? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 54. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die. But we shall all be what? Change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Right now we have corruptible bodies, right? And then we shall be changed. See, we need to be changed to really get to heaven. Because with what we have right now, there's no way we will see Jesus. God has to make that change. Jesus had to make that change. But the change doesn't take so much time. Only the twinkling of an eye. For this corruptible must put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's our victory, my brothers and sisters. Our assurance is not in the false teaching that when you die, you get to heaven. In fact, it's so funny that I don't hear anybody saying happy birthday to those people who are in hell. Because everybody somehow go to heaven when they die according to them, right? Seems like that. And yet they believe in hell. Anyway, let's go to the next lesson. Okay, where are we now? Spiritually, Matthew 25, how will it be manifested in the last days? Matthew 25:5, okay, 11 and 24. For many will come in my name, saying I am what? Christ. And will what? Deceive many. You see, this spiritualism will be manifested in a very spectacular way in the end. Many will come up and say, I am Christ, and they will deceive many. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Okay? So in verse 24, it says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and shall show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect, even you and me. Unfortunately, even right now, you and me, who have accepted Jesus Christ, who believe that we are Seventh-day Adventists, many have been deceived already. Unless you're really founded in the Word of God, my friends, you will be deceived. And that's why it's so important that you and I must stay in the Word every day. Must stay in relationship with Jesus alone. Okay? Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8. But for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Friends, Satan will work so many miracles that are so believable on eyes. And that's why we should not trust our own eyes. What you see is not really what it is. What appears to you is right. It's not really what it is. You have to know the scripture to have a basis of what you see, whether it's true or not. It's a miracle that Satan, power, signs, and lying wonders. And by the way, I like that word, lying wonders. It's wonderful, but they are lying. I mean, they are lies, okay? Okay, continue. Revelation 13:13-4, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. Whew. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Okay, Revelation 16, verse 13. And the three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. Did you hear that? How many are they? The dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. Three unclean spirits, like frogs. The false trinity, counterfeit trinity, will show up. For they are spirit of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of the Lord God Almighty. Friends, this is a spiritualism. We really need to expose it. We really need to be bold to people. But be kind, though, because you want to win them with a principle of what? Love and not emotion. After all, if you use the emotion to manipulate them to believe what you believe, whose method is that? Satan, right? The devil. The devil. It's false assurance oftentimes. That's what he does. Anyway, to close, let me read to you something that I really like towards the end of our lesson. We have so many things else to tackle, but we don't have those time. This is how it will look like towards the end of the great controversy. Ellen White wrote this in page 624 of the Book of Great Controversy as the crowning act in the great drama of deception. Satan himself were what? Personate Christ, the church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. All of you who are waiting for the second coming of Christ, watch out. Satan can impersonate him and show himself and say, I'm Christ, okay? Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come in different parts of the earth. Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in the book of Revelation. You have been warned, my friends, brothers and sisters. You know the scriptures now, if you haven't been cleared yet. And if you have questions, you can ask me after this, okay? And for those who are watching us online, once again, we offer a copy of this presentation. Write us to CSH at saccentral.org or call us at 916-457-6511 and ask for offer C202-423. Ask for a CD or a DVD, and make sure you put your address, name and address there, so it will reach you. And thank you very much for spending time with us in our lesson today.